that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Oh, and Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find inflicted monster Boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Boogaloo! Welcome back, my friends. It is time for Season 5 Astronauts to take off to a new dimension of Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Happy to be with you to talk about our movie today, Planet of the Vampires. And joining me to talk about Planet of the Vampires, I've got James Cotta.
I am so thrilled to be here, and a big shout out to all of my crew members and my fellow crew members of the ship Argos.
All right, the good ship Argos. And moving on, we got Black Jumpin' Crack Mac Jack Hall.
Mac Jack, I like that.
The Mac Jack Hall, I like it. The Mac. I'm sup.
All right. And we got Nick Boxer. Say it. Tell us how it is, Nick.
Space greetings and space salutations, my good friends.
All right. Well, we are here today to talk about some Planet of the Vampires. Now, this one was a strange movie, you know, because it was good.
Was it strange?
Yeah. Well, I have to say that this film is unfortunately about to be judged Boogaloo, which is
I chose this one and about 10-15 minutes in, I'm like, oh god, did I accidentally choose one that was good?
and not only is it good, yes. I think this is one of the best science fiction films I've ever seen. I mean, I literally would put it up there like War of the Worlds and Things from Another Earth and you know, like these best, you know, Day the Earth Stood Still, like the best science fiction genre movies of kind of that 50s, 60s era. It was an awesome film. But it's about to be judged Boogaloo. And that may not convey it in the final score. In fact, I know it won't. And that's a shame.
Like, all right.
I think this was a great movie, Jim. Thank you for at least picking it.
Yeah, there's a positive for you.
We don't judge on what is it?
On objective quality.
But yeah, if we did, this would be the best film we've seen so far, I think, easily.
Hell, if we judged on fashion alone, this movie could win. But we don't do that on fashion alone, fortunately or unfortunately.
That is where I started this movie not knowing what I was getting into. And I thought, man, look what they're wearing. No problem on the Boogaloo here.
That was my thought. They're dressed like this. And you gotta see, like, I don't know how to describe it other than Bryan Singer owes some money to these folks for having ripped off this design for the X-Men.
Holy yes, shit. That's the first thing I thought
it's
of.
Like it's so close to the, it's the neckline, the giant high collars that they can't turn their head right. That's a bit different, but the it's black leather with the yellow piping. It looks exactly like the costumes from the first X-Men movie.
I can't believe I didn't notice that, but you're right. It's unbelievable.
Okay, well, let's let Nick actually explain the movie.
Let's summarize the movie. It's quite simple. This is not a complicated... This is probably the easiest one I've had all season, probably the last couple seasons. Two giant alien spaceships filled with leather-clad attractive people answer a distress call on a clouded planet. Once they land, hilarity ensues. No, people start acting strange, and everybody on one ship basically dies. And there's a mystery that I won't really reveal. It's fairly obvious after the first 20 minutes, but you know, you should watch this movie because it's good.
Okay, well now we can get it. See, the interesting thing about this one is that it follows a cohesive plot line throughout the entire movie. There's no jumping back to something strange. There's nothing that I can talk about where it's just like, why did they go there? Well, no, I know exactly why they went there, because it followed a normal plot line, a plot structure.
See, I have a few things, but I mean, I almost like want to jump right into scoring, because we don't have like there's not a huge.
No, well, we can't talk about it from a Boogaloo perspective, but from an actual film perspective, we can easily talk about this. Like, talk about setting a mood, talk about setting tension, and with great cinematography, and a tremendous score. Like, this film, as it draws you in, I mean, it had me on the edge of my seat the way it's supposed to, the way it intended.
Well, the direction is superior. There's no question. Like, Mario Bava's direction, like, there was just a few points. And much like we said earlier, that first few minutes, I thought, oh, yeah, this is going to be totally Boogaloo. I love the outer space, because you're just drawn in by the fact that the costumes are weird. The spacecraft is really giant. Like it seems enormous when you're in there, but then you start to see some of these slow moves and like giving you some foreground, and it's just like, wait, this is pretty well directed. And then after that, you start realizing, wow, the acting's not bad. And then the next thing you know, you're completely involved in the story, and it's like, oh, nope, it's a good movie.
There is one really cool, low budget choice early in the film. It recurs a couple of times. So there's, as they're exploring space, but there's more than one ship. And so our main characters are in the second ship. The first one has gone to land and they've lost contact with it. But when they're communicating, they use these spherical screens to talk to the other ship. But if you look closely, it's not a screen. It's a fisheye glass, and the other actors are on the other side of the wall. It looks like this super high-res video display, but it's actually a window, and the actors are on the same set as the performers.
But every single special effect in this movie, and here is one of the site. What were we calling this season? Psychofacts or something? I don't know.
Yeah, but that'll work.
Something like that. But every single special effects shot takes place on camera.
Yeah,
they didn't have any budget. Yeah. They're all practical. They're all filmed
in camera.
Yeah, because they didn't have a budget to do anything post-production, which is really even more amazing when you think about it. I mean, just like Mario Bava, I think this is only the third film I've ever seen by him, and they've all blown me away, and I don't know why I haven't watched more. But after this one, I'm like, that's it. I'm going to watch them. You know, and I know that he probably, there's a good chance he shows up again for the show, but just from a pure perspective of new level of respect for somebody, the fact that he did all this in camera in real time is just crazy.
It's good looking stuff.
The gun battles were a little hokey. I did. People were falling over 3-4 minutes after they were shot.
Well, I mean, we have a zombie storyline. We have a possessed zombie storyline. So, I mean, certainly so all of the astronauts who are killed, they kill each other. They're driven mad when they get to the planet, and they're buried. But then they come back. So there's a moment, about a half hour in, where it does get a little Boogaloo. I wrote down like it's getting Boogaloo, because the astronauts rise up and they're wrapped in plastic.
I love that scene. I think that was the best shot in the movie.
Yeah, it's really kind of, again, like it's done. It's all practical. It's like they're on a real set. Like it's not a mat or anything. It's like they're on a studio studio floor. It looks like this movie looks very, very much like a lost Star Trek episode.
So, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Now, I think we're in agreement. It's not Boogaloo now, but was it Boogaloo when it came out? Because, I mean, we're used to all this stuff now because, well, everybody's ripped this stuff off. We've seen Aliens, which definitely borrows heavily from this, despite Cameron's denials of that. We've seen all this before, but when this came out in 1967, was it Boogaloo?
I don't think so. I mean, I think
it was. I don't think audiences had seen anything like this. And you're dealing with space vampires, zombies, and the general nature of space, not to mention leather-clad alien people running around.
Well, it was 65. When was Star Trek on the air?
65 to 68, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so. So, I mean, this came out in 65. Yeah, I mean, I think people
to it, yeah.
Like it's certainly more violent by a great degree, you know.
Well, there's some potentially like some scary moments
that would have shocked audiences. Yeah, the level of violence obviously is far beyond what you know, even Hollywood was producing a lot of the times. Nevertheless, what you'd see on Star Trek, right, in films at the time. But I don't think this ever would have been Boogaloo. I just think this is a film that's unfortunately, and the influence is obvious, like especially on the Alien series. Like it's, you know, you can't deny it when you're watching it. But I just don't think that this is a film that has ever gotten the love it deserves.
The screenwriters of Alien can, by the way, but that. Because they do. I also found you mentioned acting, which Dan O'Banion denies ever having seen Planet of the Vampires.
Yeah, I know he does. I know he does.
Yeah, you said you can't deny it. Yes, he can. Beside the point, he ripped it off. I don't care.
There's a lot of people that work on this on a film that was, you know, 200 people. So it's not just him. That. Yeah.
Side note: I don't care. And you mentioned the acting, which I actually have to agree is good. But there are some scenes you can tell the actors aren't speaking their speaking their native languages to each other, which they do not share.
Yeah, there's mainly Brazilian actors, speaking Portuguese and, you know, Italian, obviously, English. Like it's, you know, everybody's speaking what they have to speak, and then it's all done post-production. It's almost a little difficult to judge the actual acting in a film like this, given that, you know, I mean, the voiceover, though, I think was pretty well. I understand the first time they did the voiceovers, it was pretty hokey, but it's, you know, it's pretty good job.
I mean, given their lack of budget, given the fact that it was in the early 1960s that this was produced, you know, and given everything that they had working against them, what they managed to do is amazing. That's I think where I came down with it, is that there are some things that I am willing to bypass. You know, some of the costuming choices are a little odd. Of course, the sets, you know, once you get past those things and are just completely involved in the storyline, then you do forget about about some of the oddities that are, you know, that are forced on them.
Yeah, there's some odd low budget stuff and some just odd choices. Like they do this thing. The main character's name is Mark, and you won't have to watch much of the movie to know that, because I think every line for the first 15 minutes they call him Mark by name.
Yeah, like, for sure.
And it is strange, like that feel of the overdub and how that plays to the performance part.
Although watching Boogaloo movies, you get pretty used to overdubbing, I find, because we see a lot of it.
Well, and it's so much cheaper to film it non-sync sound and then take care of that later. If you can live with the clunkiness of it, you can save a lot of money on the front end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they literally only had two rocks, you know, two giant rocks in this film. and yet it they did a great job. Yes, you know it. It's obvious it's a set, but they do such a great job obscuring things with the color is amazing, you know, and this bright colors and you know, color scheme and the fog, they do such a great job of it. Like everything else in this movie, they just overcome what should have been a limitation. What's a limitation for anybody except apparently Mario Bava?
I found the actual spaceships on the interior a little sparse.
Well, they were completely sparse because they looked enormous. Like you had all this extra space that you didn't actually need, which, you know, okay, and that's probably, you know, that's odd in that choice, but I guess whatever space you have, you use.
I think that was one of the strange things for me is when you're inside the ship, because it is a set, because there is like these giant open rooms. It reminds me of of the Death Star in Star Wars, where there's like one thing in the corner and then this gigantic room and they're standing in the middle of it. I couldn't get a sense of how big the ship was.
That for me just gave me a greater sense of science, sci-fi. Just gave me that sci-fi sense that, you know, it's the future and you can interpret it and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you wanted to take off your space skull cap or whatever, there was nowhere to put it down. There was no tables anywhere.
Tables, I mean, cost money.
A space hat rack in the corner would have been a little nice.
Yeah, you just rub off, take off your space boots on the way in, and. Yeah, I think that was, it's not a criticism, it was kind of an odd, like, just as it went, I couldn't get my head around the scale of it.
It adds to the otherworldliness of this entire movie, actually. I just found it a little odd that I couldn't, that's part of the reason I had trouble getting into this movie as much as I did. I mean, it took me probably the first 45 minutes to sort of get it. And then I was fully invested, but this is not an easy watch. It's not something you can just show somebody and say, watch this.
I disagree. I completely 100% disagree. I mean, I went into it all boogaloo. I was first few minutes. I'm like, well, just get past the first few minutes of the boogaloo release starts up. I mean, I was like half paying attention. It was like about 3 minutes in. I'm like, hold on, the way they're approaching this doesn't feel too boogaloo. Like once I got past, and then like by 5 minutes in, I was like, wow, I'm gonna really love this. And I could, like I say, I mean, I think it's one of the greatest science fiction films ever made.
I feel I'm in the strange boogaloo place of feeling I should apologize for having a problem.
No, well, I'm so glad to
it's a really strange experience. Because, yeah, I had the same thing as I'm going. I was like, this is just, like, really, really good. It's not, like, it's not even, like, really good and weird, like, you know, like else. It's just really good. It's, I think my favorite part of the film is at one point they find an alien ship on the planet that they land on. And, they explore it, but the aliens have been dead for who knows how long. They're just like skeletons sitting outside. But the whole there's nothing humanized about the ship. Like usually when you go inside an alien ship, like everything still happens to be the height that humans can use the equipment. There's still an interface that humans can make use of. But that's not at all what the ship is. They go in and they don't understand how to use anything. They accidentally lock themselves in. Everything's scaled for people that are 10 or 15 feet tall. It's just a really interesting direction to take it, that to explore this other thing in the middle of the film.
No, I think that scene was particularly good as they needed to escape and the different things they tried to do so. I thought was completely logical too. And that's the giant alien, very memorable.
For sure. There's no question about it. And I mean, so memorable that it came back later in Prometheus.
You can't deny it.
Like it's the same damn shot. So, but yeah, I mean, there's, I just don't have anything to say other than I like this movie. You
know? Yeah, no, I think we've heaped praise on it. Let's score it so we can get our
yeah, like, yeah.
get to really yeah, that we can it. Really talk about.
All right, we're gonna run right into scoring then. As always, we rate films in five categories, none of which are objective quality, and that will work against us for once. and the first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, if I am rating this by objective quality, I give it a 9. But because I have to rate this for schlock appeal, I'm afraid I'm only giving it a 2, just based on the fact that it was the 1960s and it was low budget. That's about it.
I'll give it a 4, but that just because the American producers gave it a schlocky retitle, Planet of the Vampires.
Good point. Terror in Space, the Italian title, would have been a significant upgrade.
But keep in mind, it also went through 15 different titles before there's a mere sci-fi. There are 15 different titles.
And the schlockiest was Planet of the Vampires. Must have been the
schlockiest. That's what I was, you went through 15 titles and that was your pick. And there's no vampires on this planet.
Well, I mean, good, psychic good vampires, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if that counts.
That's 4 from Nick. Jack?
Oh, so I got 3.
3. All right. I'm also going a 4. Honestly, the title is 3 of that 4.
Yeah.
Because we were putting together this season, and I came across, I'm like, there's an Italian film that's been overdubbed into English called Planet of the Vampires. That's got to be the stuff. That's
No doubt. It sounds crazy boogaloo. from just like
it really does.
From the checklist that we would have going in, it's just like, oh, overdub Planet of the Vampires. Oh yeah. Boom, boogaloo. All right, ready to go.
Yeah, and then you look at the screenshot of this one with them in these outfits.
Yep.
All right. Next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Well, I think their budget was 32 pennies in a ragu jar, so what they did with it was amazing. I'm going to give it a full 10 because they did everything they could with this budget. Amazing.
No arguments here. I'm just going to go with 9 because I don't like throwing 10s out there. This is competent, passionate filmmaking. Everybody wanted to make this film, and they got a good film out of it. So 9. I can't complain.
Why don't we just score it out of 9, then, if you don't like giving 10? Like, what the hell's the point?
No, I'm just saying it has to be extraordinary.
If this isn't extraordinary.
Wow. Okay. That's
extraordinary circumstances.
Doesn't get better than this. 9.
I did not say that. I said it's a very good film. 9.
Wow. I don't know, Nick. Sometimes I don't know. Can I give it a 20?
Yeah, no? Yeah, that's true.
Because
that's
what for this one time, I'll allow an 11.
All right, good. Thank you.
So that's a 10 from the Norwegian judge there. IMDb estimated budget $200,000 for this film. So this is easily a 10 in my mind. The what they did and the world they created for just a staggering amount of a low amount of money. Really, really amazing.
Where the ship lands looks so cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really, like a great sense of the world they're on, that there's a distance between things, you know, and then like as I said, the ship that they explore, like that alone is more than you would find on a sci-fi show 20 years later.
And the ship actually had a vertical rocket on it for landing. Which is amazing, because most ships in sci-fi just have your standard, you know, horizontal booster jets, you know, to make it go forward. But this one actually had one that you could see. Oh, I understand how you could land that.
All right, our next category is called "What the Fuck Moments."
I guess I'll, you know, again, there's a couple of those right off the bat moments. I will suggest the size of the ship seemed a little tiny bit what the fucky, as were the costumes. The high collars were questionable. I assume they have to do when you put on the helmets to kind of get some level of seal. Don't really know. But perhaps that was just an Italian fashion choice, them being more on the cutting edge than we are. But either way, I can't think of very much. So again, I'm just going with a 2.
3 for those damn hats. Moving along.
Yeah, it is. It's like a 3 for the idea that you put people in an outfit in outer space where they couldn't turn their head to the left or the right. That's about it.
There is one moment really late on in the film where they're racing to get back to their ship to escape, and they have to go through this lava field, and there's a 3D House of Pancakes zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out of the lava. Yeah. So 3 just for that.
You know, it's funny though, because I've been watching certain things and some of the pop zooms, apparently will show up quite a bit as we move along, so it's interesting.
Thanks for telling me there's a proper term for that. Nice. You learn something new every day.
There you go.
Yeah. Check this one off so I don't have to learn anything else. That's, yeah. That's a relief.
It's time to go to bed.
Yeah. Ready for another Boogaloo film, because I definitely don't need to learn anything. Our next category we call Memorable Moments.
Well, I'll call that alien discovering the alien skeleton memorable, because it stuck in my head, perhaps because I saw it in Prometheus as well. But but overall, I'll say this entire movie is memorable. I am never going to forget this film. I am always going to remember that it is one of my upper echelon science fiction. So I'm going to go with a 7.
Yeah, it's not a film you easily forget. I mean, the aesthetic is so utterly unique. There's no confusing this film. So I'm going to numerically give it a 6 because that's the way they feel about it, goddammit.
Well, I'm giving it a 10 because, I mean, I don't see how, like, that scene, I will never forget. We talk about it with Big Alien, but like I say, also the time that you first see those zombies, that shot was so cool, so memorable, and could have been so Boogaloo, could have been, should have been such a disaster. Because in slow motion, these creatures pop up out of this plastic bags and somehow it's not cheesy. It's cool. And I don't even know how he pulled it off. It's an incredible sequence.
I honestly can't wait to get you on to some more Giallos, because I went into a big kick a couple years ago with these, and you've got some wonderful films ahead of you.
Well, I've seen some, but you know, mainly Argento, really, and
Space. Oh yeah, but Bava.
Bava's the granddaddy, isn't he?
Yeah, Bava, his son, Flusi. I mean, you got some great ones ahead of you, man. There's,
yeah, for sure.
There's some great box sets out there.
Nice. Well, I think the aesthetic's what's going to stick with me. I want to cosplay in this outfit.
Yeah. And everyone will be like, "Oh, X-Men."
Like, it did strike me as particularly not. It didn't breathe all that well. I don't think the actors were terrible and comfortable.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to go to, you know, a warm convention like San Diego in this outfit. maybe New York in the fall. All right, I'm going to go with a 7 on this. Our last category we call crazy concept.
Well, I don't think the concept is very crazy because a lot of people borrowed it later on. So I'm just going to go with the 3. I don't think this would be a terribly hard sell. I mean, it's based off a book, and so if they were to pitch this, I know they didn't have much money, but if they were going to pitch this, I think that it would be a decently easy pitch.
I don't think it was that easy. Science fiction wasn't exactly the standard at the time. Not terribly hard still, but I go as high as a 5 on that.
I just think the fact that it's been done like so many times in like in similar fashion means that the concept definitely not that crazy.
Well, since then, but at the time, I think people would have looked at you and you want to do what?
Yeah, I think there's enough layers to it. As far as twists and little layers and subplots and different things that you throw in there, that it increases the craziness. But, I mean, it's not, certainly not, you know, near top tier, but I think 5 is a perfect score. I'm gonna agree with Nick on that one.
I'm gonna go against the grain here and give it a 7 because the title Planet of the Vampires makes me theorize that he sold them on a much more B and cheesy film than he actually gave them in the end. I think they pitched a Star Trek, I mean, pre-Star Trek, obviously, but
they were going to, but it's in Italy, it's Terran Space. It's not even Planet of the Vampires. Like I say, it had 15 titles.
I love the 15 titles. Like, that's awesome. That brings us to the end of the balloting, and every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film gets a huge boost because it has 3 of them, all pluses. This film is under 80 minutes. It has an original score, and it has what we call space talk. They have the meteor rejector is one of the key parts of the plot. We actually didn't bring it up. It's never explained exactly what this thing does.
But you need it.
Incredibly important.
I did assume it rejected meteors.
You basically can't go into space without it. Is where it comes down. Like it's something that. Like deflects. I don't know if it's a force field or like, yeah, I don't, I, like it's never like understood, even though huge parts of it's the giant MacGuffin of the story because they keep stealing the meteor rejector from the various ships and moving it back and forth.
I actually thought they needed just to get it off that particular planet because of the cloud around the planet or
I now realize they kept I mentioning have no a idea. Cloud or
something around the planet. And it didn't seem to affect the plot at all. So I figured that's why they needed the meteor rejector.
I now realize I have no idea why they needed to get off the planet and everything. What I realize.
Well, no, they actually say that. They tell you why.
I'm sure they would, but I think I was so, like, I think a lot of the story and the plot. I just skated right by because I was so incredibly fascinated with the atmosphere created and little details like seeing the different behavior when a person was captured by these beings and taken over their body or when they're about to become a zombie and their walk changed and it was all the same and consistent. I was so taken into all these things. I think I missed the actual storyline. I think I missed a lot of it.
Well, and it's in a lot of ways, it's a MacGuffin. It's not vitally important that you do understand, those elements of it. And I mean, that's what to me always makes good sci-fi good is that it feels like a lived in world that, they don't stop and explain things because they wouldn't. Like, everyone on board knows what a meteor rejector does, so there's no reason to have someone explain it. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that brings us down to a final total of 59.5 out of 100, which pops it right around Dracula versus Frankenstein and Monster Squad.
Okay.
So it pretty much lands where it belongs in that regard. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sweet spot for those movies.
It is kind of the sweet spot for those movies. And Stan, as the editor, you're going to be happy with this episode, aren't you? I mean,
well, I did wonder as I was watching this, like, how are we going to talk for a long time? There's no what the fuck moments. There's no like this. There's no that. Like, it's just a really good movie. But you know what? That's okay. Because I love to watch really good movies as well as the Boogaloo movies. But
that's Malik concert.
I know for a fact that we're going to have plenty of Boogaloo coming up as we watch the movie Space Rage for your next episode, and I'm assuming that it's going to be more Boogaloo and less good.
Well, I can tell you, it has a lot less trivia. I mean, nobody cares enough about this film to write anything about it.
All right. Well, Jim, tell the folks where they can find us on the internet.
Of course, we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and use that hashtag when talking about B-movies you love. And for everything else, our podcast sponsors, We Talk Podcasts, they have a website, wetalkpodcasts.com, and they are on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow them, and they will tell you when new seasons are coming up and what else we got happening here at the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo headquarters.
And hey, beyond just that movie, next episode, something else is happening, something special. The first time ever, we're each going to present what we want to do as the next season and pick the next season, the following season, following Astronauts, live on air. So hopefully everybody can weigh in afterwards and let us know which would have been their pick.
Well, we'll see how that goes. See how everybody likes it. All right. Well, thank you for watching the Astronauts, and truly, I recommend that you go out and find Planet of the Vampires and watch it, because not only is it, it's just a great movie. And it's not Boogaloo at all, but it's just a really good movie.
I think it is. It's findable on YouTube, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
I watched it on Daily Motion, and I think the version I watched was like a VHS copy, actually. And that actually, I think, kind of helped it, but I'm planning to buy a Blu-ray, because the quality of the sound and the visuals, I want to see them at the highest current possible quality.
Nice. All right. Well, next episode, join us for Space Rage. We're going to get really fucking angry. All right. So, for Jack, for Jim, and for Nick, I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Let's prepare for a landing, Grant.
Okay. In a 40G gravity atmosphere, strange thing happens to man's body and mind. Barry Sullivan and Norma Bengel take you into the most fantastic science fiction adventure ever filmed.
Emergency! Emergency! Conditions desperate. Little chance of survival. Help us.
Mark, look!
What have you got?
The galleot.
Bert, get me a fix on this right now. Wes, Brad, controls.
Planet of the Vampires. Harboring a form of life worse than death. Planet of the Bloodless. Creatures who take men's bodies, but attack like vampires.
I'll tell you this, if there are any intelligent creatures on this planet, they're our enemies.
In this outer space world, the living dead try to escape into life.
Salus. No, just his body. And I'm just one of many beings on this planet. And we're fighting to survive. It's imperative that our race continue to exist. We arranged for several of you to kill each other so that we could take over your bodies. You are our last chance.
No, never. We'll all of us give up our lives to save our own race.
You've seen Star Wars. You've seen Star Trek. Now, the ultimate star adventure. Space Mutiny. Journey with space colonists who are trapped on a never-ending voyage of terror, death, and destruction.
It's a cruel fate to be born in space.
What are all these bodies for?
When anyone is under suspicion, they're immediately arrested, tortured, and given the truth. However, if they seem redeemable, Culloden freezes them.
Vicious pirate ships bombard the helpless crew of the starship Southern Sun, while fanatical mutineers seize control from within.
Viper out of control. Collision imminent.
And there is only one man who can save them. Starring Reb Brown.
I did what I had to do. Don't you think I realized a good man died?
John Philip Law.
Ryder must be eliminated at once.
James Ryan.
Are there any other of you that wish to confuse freedom with treason?
Cameron Mitchell.
It is now time.
And introducing Sissy Cameron.
You have time!
I have something to show you.
Oh no. He's evil, ruthless.
Find my way, idiot!
We have to fight back. There is only one man on the ship who's capable of combat.
What a shame to burn out these lovely teeth.
I do have one weakness. Pain. Other people's.
What took you so long?
Where's that idiot who let her escape? You've got him on ice, sir. Kill him at once.
Yes, sir.
Reb Brown romances the commander's daughter while holding off sadistic terrorists.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
Be mesmerized by mysterious alien women.
One cannot escape one's own destiny.
We're going to hold out here and never let them take over the Southern Sun.
Join the crew of the Southern Sun as they fight for their lives.
Take this, you space bitch.
No!
Space Mutiny. In space, there is no way out.